the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus, say it, buddy.
We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Oh, that's all we can cry.
We cry, holy, holy,
holy. Oh, sing
holy.
It,
toy. We cry, holy, holy, holy.
Oh, yes, we do.
The feet of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church tonight? How many of you glad to be here? How many of you appreciate the privilege of being here? What an opportunity we have to worship the Lord. We just had a glorious time here Wednesday night. The word of the Lord was just absolutely outstanding. And well, just welcome to camp meeting, Brother Terry. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them welcome to camp meeting. Praise the Lord. Play some more of that, guys. Let's sing just a speck more of that tonight. Brother Samuel, welcome to camp meeting, buddy. God bless you. Guys, welcome to camp meeting. Welcome to camp meeting. Welcome to camp meeting, buddy. Welcome to camp meeting, buddy. God bless you. Camp meeting, buddy. God bless you. Oh, yes, now we'll fall down. We'll lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that's what we'll do once we're given a crown. I know the 24 elders, I know that's what they're going to do. And I'd like to know who those guys are. But I'll tell you what, we're part of it. We may not be around that throne exactly at the same time they are, but I don't know how it's all going to take place. But I know the crown that I get may be a tiny little old crown. I don't know. But I know one thing. I want to lay it at His feet. I want to thank Him for saving a wretch. A sorry wretch like Louis Blevins. How about that? Is that the way you feel tonight? Is that the way you feel? That He saved you. He loved you. He gave His life for you. Oh, give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight. We'll fall down and we'll lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Oh, sing it. Sing it to Him. Sing it to Him, church. Oh, He's worthy. His Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to read you a testimony tonight just before we start. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request. This is going to just bless your heart. Last weekend, this is from Brother Junior Davis. Last weekend, I had you to pray with me about a side effect that I was having from the chemo treatments. I was getting nerve shocks in my feet. Just every little while. The doctor said they would have to watch it very closely because it could get worse and could cause me to stumble and fall. Thanks to our wonderful Lord Jesus, they are completely gone. Because of your prayers and wonderful support, I believe that we have the devil on the run. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's good, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Brother Junior, we're going to believe with you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Whatever you have in your life tonight, why don't you just believe that you've got the devil on the run? If you can see what that wimp looks like that's troubling you, that's scaring you to death, that's aggravating you to death, if you can just see how little, how unimportant he really is. He's about the most unimportant thing that I could ever think of. We're serving an all-powerful, almighty God. Don't let some little wimp worry you to death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I just threw that in. That didn't. That's all right. Let me give you this testimony too. Just wanted to say thank you for all the cards, gifts, visits, especially your prayers during my surgery. I am doing great and I am sure glad to be back in church. Sister Betty Waters offers that testimony tonight. Had total knee replacement. She's back in church. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim Babb is back in service with us tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We just got so much to thank the Lord for. Amen. Amen. Well, let's look at our prayer request tonight. Sister Mary Lewis just wants to praise the Lord for blessing us to be able to come to this weekend services, the Fall Festival last night, and here for the weekend services. She's going to be singing for us in the morning. Her friend that brought her down here is Sandra Suker. I hope I got that name close to being right. Maybe I did. I hope I did. But anyway, we're certainly glad to have those folks with us tonight. April Blair, Nate Painter's shower will be tomorrow in the fellowship hall at 6:30. All are welcome. So that's just an announcement. We'll go ahead and get that out of the way tonight. Everybody's invited to be here for that. I would like to ask for Lana Mullins to be added to the prayer request on Saturday night. She just found out that she has breast cancer. Thank you. Brother Jim Hughes sends that in. So we just commit that to unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to intervene on her behalf. Brother Daniel, Sister Linda Nunley, an unspoken prayer request for their grandson Daniel Rankin, so we will remember that need tonight. Mike Johnson sends this in. I have a good friend whose daughter is expecting a child, expecting a baby daughter around the first of the year. It has been determined that the baby suffers from a serious heart condition that may require several surgeries beginning soon after birth and possibly leading to a heart transplant by the age of 20 if she lives that long. They have asked that we pray for this yet unborn child whose name will be Braley Speed. I hope I got that name right. So we want to remember those folks tonight as we pray. Sister Judy Davis needs a healing touch in her body. We want to remember her as we pray tonight in this service. Brother Larry wants us to remember his mother in prayer. She has pneumonia, is very weak. She stopped breathing, was almost dead. They're hoping that she didn't incur brain damage as her oxygen level dropped to 75 and her body temperature dropped to 94. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Amos Cutts says, please remember my brother John Cutts, who has a persistent back issue. He also carries a large responsibility in caring for our mother. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Reese wants us to remember his brother Richard has had shoulder surgery and a lot of pain. Also, they have a pet that they want us to remember in prayer tonight as we pray. The Lord would just be mindful of that situation. And I believe we want to welcome to the service tonight a Sister Marilyn, a Sister Joanne, and a Sister Rachel from Quebec. Where would those folks be? Would you just raise your hand tonight right here? Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. I'm sure we've got other visitors here in the service with us tonight, and if I didn't call your name, we're just honored to have you in the service with us tonight. Most of all, we're honored to have the Lord here tonight in the service. Brother Michael, first of all, let us say thanks to Brother Michael Bailey for the work that he takes on every year for the Fall Festival, and he's want to offer some thanks tonight. I would like to thank everyone that helped with the Fall Festival. Some put in many, many hours to make it work. A very special thank you to Brother Jim Goad and family for the use of his equipment that makes it possible. Thank you for those that came this morning to help clean up. Also, I want to thank Brother Donnie for allowing us to do this. Hope everyone had a great time. I apologize for any inconvenience the power outage may have caused anyone. They did bring out a new transformer, a bigger and newer transformer, and said that we should have no more problems. So there you are. I think that's everything. It's just good to be here tonight in the house of the Lord. Brother David Seiler has studied this week, preparing for the service. He's been preaching a lot this week, and he's worried about his voice tonight. But we spoke just a second. I said, Brother David, if the Lord gets in it, you could run through that wall right there. It don't really matter. So we're just looking for a good time in the Lord tonight, aren't we? Have an unspoken prayer request, something you like for this group to pray about. We know we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems. You believe that with all your heart. Brother Amos, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord. Let's stand, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these requests. We'll just commit these things unto God as we pray tonight.
Bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just found out tonight. It is written in the book of me. I have the answer to every one of my prayers. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father God, we want to thank you and praise you that we were able to be here tonight, Father God. There wasn't anything that held us back. Most of us well in our body. Dear God, regardless of circumstance, some, Lord, with limited funds, some that come a great distance, dear God. But Lord Jesus, we're here tonight, all of us by the grace of God. We thank you for the testimonies that we've had tonight, God. The way you've answered prayer, the things you've done in people's lives, because they believe. And Lord, as we stated tonight, as Jesus said, and as we can also say, Lord, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I am identified. I am the one that the book speaks of for this hour. I pray, Heavenly Father God, tonight, Lord, as these requests have been mentioned, dear God, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you tonight, dear God. And we emphasize to our enemy, get out of our way. Get out of our way. You're nothing but a bluff. We refuse to hear you. We can only hear the voice of our master. Lord Jesus, tonight we speak with authority. We exercise that authority tonight, knowing that there's many needs here tonight, Lord, and some that's been told this and some that's been told that. And there's all kinds of things, unbelievers and the airwaves and the paper and telling us all these negative things. But Lord, your word is an absolute. The final say, the blood's there. The life of the blood is there. May the life of the blood be on the people tonight, we pray. Help us, Lord, to receive that life tonight of the blood, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, bless the remainder of the service. Bless Brother Siler as he comes, Lord, and anoint our ears to hear the word of God and receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. As I said a few minutes ago, if you're visiting with us tonight, certainly good to have you, Brother Arvin, Sister Martha, and their daughter. Good to have all those folks with us tonight. They're not visiting, they're just back home, and they'll go visiting back to South Carolina here in a little while. All right. Those that are streaming this service tonight, may God bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. Be bold. Be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. Do you believe that with all your heart? Well, I tell you what, me and seven others are going to have a good church here tonight. Do you believe that you can be bold and be strong? The Lord thy God is with thee. Give him a big hand clap of praise. Play it, buddy.
Run into the camp, tell everybody, get ready.
hand count of praise. You believe it's the truth tonight? Do you believe it's the truth? Is he with you? Are you with him? Run into the camp one more time, Brother Harry. Tell him to get ready.
Run into the camp. Tell everybody, get ready.
Oh, get ready.
Say praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together. You know, sometimes you feel like the weight of the world's on your shoulders. Sometimes you're standing on top of the world. And sometimes you don't know what to do with a microphone. Sometimes the world's on top of you. But I'm going to tell you this. In Jesus Christ, we are absolute victorious. We're winners, church. You're not a loser. Now, why don't we just quit acting like losers? Why don't we just quit acting like we can't win? We can win. We have won. You have won. The battle's over. You have won. Give him a hand clap of praise. We're going to fight. We're going to fight every day of our life. We're going to fight for our life. But there's one thing about us. The booger man can't take us till Jesus Christ gets done with us. I'm serving a great captain tonight. How about you? Are you serving a great captain? I will praise the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. I will praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes, now I
will praise.
We're going to
praise as you're seated tonight. Sister Sarah, come have some songs for you tonight. Won't be able to get them all in, but we'll get the other two in the morning. Sister Mary Lewis will be singing in the morning. Sister Tamika Brown, give us a song in the morning. Sister Lindsay is here tonight. I want her to come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. Glad to have these folks with us. Let's enjoy our singers tonight as they sing. God bless you.
The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel your walls, they're closing in, and the tide is swiftly rising, and you wonder where He's been. Friend, there never was a moment that His arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure, your God is moving right now. Stand still and let God.
about going home since I was just a babe on their knee. They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there, how one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it will be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky because my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. Feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. once forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it fits to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of
feels when a sweet moves over our bodies. And you're looking in the mirror and the wrinkles begin to leave. Brother Bram said, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I want to know what it feels like when our loved ones are gathered all around us. I want to know what it's like. I lost a sister at 25 years old. I long to see her walk in the room one day. I'll know it's time. I'll know it's time to leave. Brother, I don't know about you, but I don't want nothing keeping me from making it that day. Whatever it costs, I want to make sure I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it at that day. I certainly love the Lord tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, we want to invite you into the scripture. Certainly welcome you to the house of the Lord. I want to start in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 tonight. I want to start with verse 29. Is anybody here just needs a word of encouragement?
Yes.
Amen. God bless all 15 of you. We're going to have some church with 15 is all I can say. I don't know why God has directed me down this path, but I don't understand sometimes why he just don't let us preach what we want to preach. So I don't know who this is for tonight, but don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman. I don't make the mail. I didn't create the mail. I just deliver it. Amen. Don't kill the FedEx man tonight. Just take what he has in store. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And this is why, because he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Because it's not man that justifieth. It ain't the preacher that justifieth, but it's God that justifies. Watch verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? If anybody condemns another man, Brother Ram said, no mortal has a right to condemn another mortal in the sight of God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And who shall separate? I love these who's. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or those who stand against the message, those that give up on God, those that tells you you're in a cult, who shall separate us? Hallelujah. It's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long and we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all of these things, we're not just equal to, but we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor thing present or things to come, neither height nor depth nor any creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'd like to speak to you tonight. The Lord will help us, and you'll pull with me. When love stooped down. When love stooped down. Let's just bow our hearts. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to be able to be gathered here again this evening. We are under great expectation of what you have in store for us. No doubt Paul was realizing there was things that was coming against him to try to take him away from the love that God had showed to him. I'm thankful that these things has been written tonight. And I ask you, Lord, may you make it real to our hearts. Any man that has the ability, as your prophet said, can take this Bible, open it up and read it. But it takes the Holy Spirit to take that which is written, to make the letters come off the pages and make it come alive in our hearts. Lord, it's our desire that the word would be alive to us. We want more than just dead letter. We want more than just dead church. We want more than just a gathering in this building tonight. We want to see you move tonight. I pray that you'd come, Lord. You've directed me this path, and here I stand at the post of duty asking you, Lord, may you anoint us freshly tonight. Each one that's come, may we take all of our troubles, all of our problems, all the things of next week and the last week, may we just lay those things aside now. And Lord, hear what you have to say to our hearts. May you bless our gathering together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. I want to read you a statement that Brother Brown makes, out of living, dying, buried, rising, and coming. And I want to just work from this statement tonight if I can. Brother Brown said, talking about Jesus, he says he was the express love when he was here on earth in so many different ways. Till it was undisputable that he was the most loving creature that had ever lived. And I think in his life here, he was expressing God. And the only way that God can be expressed to the people is through love. And well did he do this when he was caught. Notice, he well did this when he caught one of the most vilest women that there ever was in his day, perhaps. They found her just guilty. No way out. And when she was found in adultery, they drug her up before him and said, "What do you say do for her?" And when he turned to her and said, "I don't condemn her, go thee and sin no more." Instead of being thrown her out in the streets to be drugged like a bunch of wolves over to stone her and take her life, his tender, kind, loving heart stooped way down into the sin that she was in. Glory. And he said, "I don't condemn thee. Just go and sin. Don't sin no more." And not only is he a God that forgive the lowest sin that could be committed and take the guilty and make them guiltless by his pardoning love. Paul is describing to us how that God's love is so powerful. There's nothing in the world that's more powerful than love. Love can't be broken by fear. Love can't be broken by hatred. Love can't be broken by doubt. Love is the most powerful weapon, Brother Ram said, that's ever been used in the hand of the believer. And Paul is asking these people to the Roman church, who has a right to condemn another man that has the love of God in him? Who has a right to condemn another mortal? Paul said, who is he that condemneth? He said, it's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession. How can you condemn a man when God, a man has a lamb that's interceding on his behalf? Who has a right to condemn a man when he's got blood speaking on his behalf? That word condemneth means to condemn, to get judgment against. Who has a right to give judgment? Who has a right to judge worthy of punishment? What man is there that can punish another man? What man is there that can condemn another man? Who's worthy? What man, what woman, what preacher, what bishop, what pope can condemn another man that has an intercessor speaking on his behalf? Then Paul says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Notice what Paul's doing. He's taking legal terms to describe to the Romans about God's love. And notice he says, what man is there? Who can lay anything to the charge? What attorney can charge one of God's elect? What prosecutor can charge one of God's elect? What evidence is there that's so great that it would cause the love of God to be shown away from somebody who has a lamb speaking for them? Produce your evidence if you got it. Who has a right to lay anything to the charge? What devil can bring a charge against God's children? He goes, says, who shall lay anything to the charge? Because it's God. Notice, it's God that justifies. The word justify means to be freed. In other words, it's the word that has freed us. And it says that it's justified to be righteous, to have a justifier. I love this one. To render righteous. To render righteous. Or such as he ought to be. He's not it per se, but it's what he ought to be. Not as you are. Not as you are right now, but as you ought to be. As he wishes himself to be considered, it means to declare, to pronounce, to want to be just. He's announcing that somebody's just. He's righteous, or as he ought to be. So Jesus Christ has declared us, by his love, we are righteous. By his love, he has made you righteous. By his love, he's made you acceptable in the beloved. You wasn't lovable, but he made you lovable. You wasn't worthy, but he made you worthy. Oh, Paul goes on to say all these things were more than conquerors for him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities or powers, nor things present can come, nor height, nor depth, or any creature. That tells me there's going to be some creatures trying to separate us. Who shall be able to separate? Notice he's using legal terms. He's actually showing separation deals with a marriage covenant. Who can break the vow that God made with his bride? Who can take and break the covenant that God has made? The word separate means to put asunder. Who can put a man and his wife in his, who can separate a man and wife? To divide, to cause apart, to put asunder, separate oneself from, to leave a husband or wife, or divorce. To depart or to go away. Paul is saying, once you've been married by the love of God, once you have entered into a covenant with God, there is no creature, there is no angel, there is no power, there is no principalities, there is no wickedness, there is no devil that can separate and break this covenant that God has made with his bride. Once you've been married by the love of God, listen, nothing can break that love. Nothing can break that covenant. Oh my, the answer is nothing can stop God's love. We think our faults can stop God's love. Your faults can't stop God's love. Your mistakes can't stop it. Your failures can't stop it. Your besetting sins can't, come on somebody. Your besetting sins can't stop it. You must understand the love of God is not like our love. God don't love you more when you do good. And they love you less when you do bad. And when you're having good days, he loves you more. And when you read your Bible, he loves you more. When you listen to a tape, he loves you more. But when you don't read it, he loves you. That's not the love of God. The love of God never moves. His love is always the same. He loves you whether you're up, whether you're down, whether you're in or whether you're out. The love of God loves you no matter how good you are, how wicked you are. The love of God doesn't change. Our love is like a roller coaster. We love things one minute, we hate it the next. We love a car. car we buy 1 month, we hate it the next. It's because our love is like a roller coaster. But you can't never show God's love that way, because while you were yet a sinner, He loved you. Hallelujah. Oh my, God's love never dips low. Well, Brother David, I've got a besetting sin. He doesn't love you any less than He did whenever you didn't have that besetting sin. Preach, somebody. I'm talking about the love of God. I'm talking about something that's beyond your understanding. I'm talking something you can't figure out. God's love don't dip when you lose your temper, and love you more when you keep it. God's love doesn't move when you make a mistake, and then loves you more when you correct it. The love of God is unchanging. You know why? His word is unchanging. His word doesn't change. Oh my, Paul said in Ephesians 3 that we may be able to comprehend with all saints. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. What's the next verse? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that it might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to understand God's love has a breadth, a height, a length, and a depth to it. The breadth of God's love means it's so wide, it's so extent, you can't get around it. Amen. The length of God's love is He loved you longer than time. He loved you before you was ever born. His love is an eternal love. You don't measure God's love by time. You don't measure God's love by how long you've been a Christian. The love of God is an eternal love, and it moves from eternity to eternity. One man can measure the love of God. Then Paul said God's love has a depth to it. How far down will God's love go? How far can God reach? How far, how low can God get to get down and pick you up? How far will He reach down? How much love does God have? How low can a person, a mortal, be in the presence of God that God's love won't come down and pick him up? Then Paul said the height of God's love, that tells me He won't only come down and get me, but He'll pick me up and take me on high. He won't just come down where you're at and then leave you there, but He will lift you up. No wonder the Bible says, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? The love of God. In John chapter 8, there's a story I would like to speak from. That's the foundation. Is that all right? John 8, the Bible said in verse 3 that the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Him taken in adultery. And when they had set her in His midst, they said to Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. Notice the next statement. In the very act. In the very act. She's not presumed guilty. But she's been caught in the very act. How many believes in the love of God? Hang on, somebody. Moses and the law command us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? This they say, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down. Glory to God. Jesus stooped down. And with His finger He wrote on the ground. I love this. As though He heard them not. And when He continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convinced by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said, Neither do I. But go and sin no more. It amazes me what people allow Satan to charge them with. It amazes me what people allow Satan to hold over their lives. It amazes me how people become so locked up, imprisoned,
to the things that the devil accuses them of. And I want you to notice, here's a woman, she's caught in the very act. There is no escaping it. She's guilty. I said she's guilty. Let me drop this in. You was guilty. Caught in the very act. You was guilty in the face of God. The Bible says that all men have sinned and has fallen short of the glory of God. We was all sinners. We was all caught in the act. Preach, Brother David. Listen, friends, there ain't no big eyes or little U's in this building. Every one of us are sinners saved by the grace of God. There ain't one person that's got a better life or a better nature. We all had an Adamic nature upon us until the grace of God changed us. We all needed His love. We all needed saved. We all had to repent. We all had to find an altar. Amen. You may think that when you was born again, or when you was born out of the womb of your mother, that Kool-Aid run out of your faucet. You think you was born swinging a Bible. I got news for you. You was born the same way everybody else in this building was born. We all needed grace of God to keep us. We needed grace of God to raise us up. Oh, I feel my preacher coming on tonight. We all needed His grace. I'll tell you, God knows you. He knows where you live at. He knows who you are in your private moments when there ain't nobody else around and ain't nobody else looking at you. He knows who you are tonight. He knows the very thoughts that comes to your mind. I'm talking about the love of God. We need His love. We need it every day of our lives. Oh, hallelujah. He knows my mistakes. He knows my shortcomings. He knows it. He's omniscient. I got a woman down in Georgia Monday said, He's omnipotent, bless God. He's everywhere at all times. You can't hide nothing from God. You can't hide nothing from Him. But I'll tell you, the grace of God and the love of God reaches down no matter how far you're down. No matter what kind of a life you got, the love of God can reach so far down to where you are at and pick you up. Jesus is on Mount Olives. He's fixing to teach. He's in the classroom fixing to break the word. About that time, a noise begins to collect outside the temple. What do you hear, Jesus? There's screaming going on. There's accusations being made. There's people charging somebody. They're ridiculing. They are talking how much of a sinner this person is. How low they are. How unrighteous they are. Oh my. And here are these religious folks. You know Jesus had a problem with religious folks. Amen. I said Jesus got a problem with people just religious. You run into it all the time. People that's just religious. What are you? I'm Baptist. They're just religious. What are you? I'm Presbyterian. They're just religious. But you ask me what I am. I'm a son of God, full of the Holy Ghost. I've been born again, water baptized. Listen, I'm not just religious. I'm a son tonight. Because when I ain't in church, I'm still a son of God. When there ain't nowhere around to be able to be in the house of God, I'm still a son tonight. Jesus don't like religious people. Religious people, they build monuments where God wants movements at. Religious people, they're satisfied with cold dead church. But let me just tell you this, I'm glad we got a church here in Johnson City. We don't want some dead, twice plucked up by the roots, dead stagnant church. We want a church that's alive. We want a church that's on fire for God. We want a church that the Holy Spirit can come and move in this building and touch lives and change lives. We don't want some cold, dead, stale religion. Brother, I was born to be in the presence of God. I was born to live in His presence. I was born to be here. Glory to God. I was born to worship Him. Religious people's more interested in where God was besides where God is. Religious people get stuck in tradition. They'd rather have tradition besides revelation. They'd rather tell you about the old stale order of yesterday than tell you about a fresh, genuine outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Here's tradition. Coming down the road, they're dragging a woman that's half dressed. They're dragging her down the street. They're dragging her to the temple. History says when they would find them, the accusers would drag them up in front of the high priest. And the high priest would require two witnesses that saw it. I'm not talking about hearsay. I'm talking about absolute eyewitnesses of it. But if you ain't got an eyewitness, you just keep your mouth shut. Here's the tradition of yesterday that is running headlong into the revelation of the hour. Oh, let me say it better than that. Here's law that's bumping into grace. Glory to God. They're coming condemning. They're coming judging. They're coming to bring charges against this woman. But they are so caught up in tradition of past tense. And here comes the Pharisees, these religious people. And let me tell you, they're not alone. This woman they're dragging, no doubt she's humiliated. No doubt she's scared to death, knowing that she has been caught. She is not ignorant to the law. God, that's good. Iniquity is to know to do right and don't do it. She know what the law said. She know what the penalty of it was. But somewhere within her, there was something broken about her when she didn't care about the law of Moses. And she trampled right over the word of God. Brother, you can't look down your nose at her. We all have iniquities. We all had it. She's scared. She's embarrassed. She's probably crying. Think about it. Here a woman's been dragged. She's been dragged by tradition. She's been dragged by religion. An old, stale, cold order of yesterday. She's being dragged into the presence of revelation. Sin got thrown into the presence of love. Mercy. Can you see it? Here is sin. Here is unbelief. Here is iniquity being dragged into the presence of a lamb without spot, a lamb without wrinkle, a lamb without mistakes. Here's a sinner running into a sacrifice. She's quivering. She's scared. What am I going to do? Tradition couldn't help her. Being religious couldn't help her. Just going to church couldn't help her. Just sitting on a pew didn't help her. It can't just be sitting there observing. You must be a participator. You must be a worshiper. Had they drug her to the high priest, no doubt she would have been stoned. As one person that saw her do this sin would take one great big stone according to the Bible. As Jesus even quoted when he said, "Lest I dash myself against the stone." That one stone represented judgment. And that judgment would take and they would throw it over a woman. And what it would do, it would knock the breath out of them and almost kill them as it crushed their chest. And if the first blow didn't kill them, they'd pick up another rock and hit them in the back of the head while they're laying on the ground to finish them off. Had it been a high priest,
a man, she would have died. Had it been a high priest of the elders, she would have died. Had it been somebody, a pastor from the local assembly, preach somebody, she would have died. But because she got drugged into the presence of the only one that can take her place, the only one that can declare her righteous, the only one that says, who can condemn any man in the presence of God? The only one that can say, who can lay charges to any of my elect? The only thing that could help her was standing there. They bring her before Jesus to set him up. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? Amen. This woman's been caught in the very act. And then they get religious. Moses said over here. And Moses said over here. And Moses said over here. And the law said. And the law said. And Moses said. And Moses said. Isn't this hilarious? Here is men trying to teach the word about the word. They're trying to tell the former about the latter. They're trying to tell the creator about his creation. Oh, I worked hard on that. They're trying to tell the word what the word says. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now they have to use that pronunciation. It can't be hearsay. Somebody had to see it. Moses and the law commanded us. This ain't something that you question. He commanded us. Not if you feel like it. Not if you want to. That such should be stoned. Now Revelation, what do you got to say about this? Listen church, the law had already condemned this woman to die. The law had her guilty as charged. And here is a woman, glory to God, think about it. Think about woman in the scripture, what she represents. Here is a woman facing death. Here's a woman stuck between the tradition of yesterday and the fresh revelation of the hour. No doubt in her mind she's thinking, I'm fixing to be killed. I'm fixing to be killed. I'm fixing to be stoned. She's scared. She's nervous. She's shaking. She's crying. She's half dressed. Maybe just a sheet over. But she'd heard some things too. By this time, she's heard about Jesus. She's heard about what he's done. She's heard about how great he is. No doubt she wants to see Jesus. No doubt she had a desire to one day be in the great king's presence. She had a desire to want to be there. Oh, don't miss this. But she didn't have a chance to clean herself up. I said she didn't have a chance to cover herself up to make her look like everybody else. Woo-hoo. She didn't have a chance to cover up her issues. She didn't have a chance to cover up her past. She didn't have a chance to cover up her... Isn't it amazing what we cover up? Isn't it amazing what we cover up? We come to the house of God. We know the codes. We know the way we gotta look. We know how to dress. And if we're not careful, we wear long hair and long dresses, but we cover up issues. She's caught in the very act. They want to stone her. Here's my problem with this picture right here. They want to stone her, but last time I checked, how can you get caught in the act? Where's the man at in this thing? Come on, somebody. I at least thought the sisters would say amen. Where's the man at in this? Where's the man that's guilty of this? No doubt some of them has got rocks in their hands.
They got rocks in their hands. They have dragged her to the face of Jesus. They drag her here. They got rocks in their hand. They're ready to stone her and judge her. Maybe they didn't take her to the priest because the priest just happened to be home at that time. I'll move on now. She's fixing to be killed. She's not dressed to meet Jesus. She's not decent. Do you understand? Think spiritual with me a minute. She ain't decent. She's not clothed properly. She doesn't have the right attire on to meet a man of this stature. But here she comes. She comes in the face of Jesus. Here she is by herself. Isn't that just like what the devil does to us? He talks us into doing something that we pay for it. Like Brother Donnie said the other day, the devil will talk you into robbing a bank and he'll call the cops on you. The devil will trap you and then he will leave you. He will talk you into something and then he'll leave you holding the bag. He condemns you, makes you feel lower than dirt. And then he'll make you feel so guilty about it. Here's religious men. These men are religious. These men study the law. They studied every law every day of their life. Their duty was to get up and live that law to the letter every single day. By this time, they've added hundreds of traditions to the law. They've inserted their own ideas. Can you imagine trying to keep the law? Can you imagine how difficult it would be to keep every law all day, every day, in this kind of a body? Give up. I can stop you before you go through any trouble. You can't do it without God's grace. I can't do it without God's grace. No preacher can do it without God's grace. If you live the word, it's because it'll take the word inside of you to live it himself. Religious men's quoting Moses said this here, Moses said this, and over here in Sea Vista, and over here. Oh. This is what the word says. This is what the word says. What are you going to do about it? This is what Moses said. And they're using this woman as a pawn to try to humiliate the grace of God. They're trying to humiliate what God has done. She's laying there trembling, scared to death. Her life has been torn apart. She's probably thinking, there's no hope for me. There's no way out for me. I'll always be like this. Preach somebody. I'll never get past this. I'll always live like this. I'll always have these problems. I'll always have these besetting sins. I'll always have to be this way. See, her private life went public. Nobody likes for their private life to go public. How humiliating. Everybody in the church knows what she did. I'm preaching to you tonight. Everybody in the church knows what mistake I made. And Satan will make you have so much condemnation and rub it in until you feel so guilty and so low and so useless and so worthless. You start saying words like, I don't even know why I go to church. I don't even know why I sit on the pews. I don't even know why I care. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. It'll make you feel so worthless. If you wasn't such a scaredy cat, you'd killed yourself a long time ago. I'm being real with you tonight. See, what you got to do is take your church mask and just pull it off for a little while. And let God get down in there and really deal with the issues that truly goes through your mind on an everyday basis. She can't hide it no more. She's laying at Jesus' feet. But Jesus ain't condemning her. Jesus ain't jumping on the bandwagon with everybody else. Matter of fact, he's not saying nothing. Not a word. Not a word. I think I know why. Because love and grace ain't about what Jesus said.
It's about what he did. Lord of God. This is what he did. And the Bible said, verse 6, that Jesus stooped down. And with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. They're accusing. They're charging. They're saying one right after another, as though Jesus never even heard them. He simply stooped. The word stooped down means, oh, I love this, to lower himself. To descend from heaven with a shout. I mean, to descend, to become low. He wasn't low, but he become low. He wasn't low, but he become low. Oh God. He wasn't a sinner, but he became a sinner for you and I. Jesus stooped down and he got down on her level. Brother, will that preach? I said Jesus got down on whatever level you was at. I don't care how far down you was. Jesus got where you was at. But David, but why? Because she couldn't get to where he was. He come down. No matter how low it was. I don't know about you, but when I was broken, I'm glad that Jesus Christ stooped down to my level. When I was lost, he stooped down. When I was bound up, he stooped down to where I was at. When the devil was accusing me, he stooped down. The devil comes and charges me and say, you'll never make the rapture. You'll never go in the body change. You'll never be any different. All I can say is the King of Glory stooped down where I was at. Go ahead and sit there. I'm going to preach to you a minute. I said he stooped down to where I was unworthy, but he stooped down. I was unlovable, but he stooped down. When everybody else was pointing the finger at you, Jesus stooped down to where you was at. I wonder, where would some of us be tonight at this moment had he not stooped down? I dare say some of us would be alcoholics tonight. I dare say some of us would be out with drugs in our veins. Preach, Brother David. We'd be in the world with the love of the world on us. Brother and sister, don't let this suit fool you. I needed the grace of God to stoop down to where I was at. He had to stoop down. Nobody else was willing to do it. Nobody else wanted to become it. But he stooped down to where I was at. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is showing us no matter how low you get, Jesus can reach down. The love of God can reach down so far, the depth so far. Well, Jesus, I'm on the floor. I'll come down the floor where you're at. Well, Jesus, I'm in the tombs. I'll come down the tombs where you're at. Hallelujah. I'm sitting on Jacob's well. He has need to go by Jacob's well. I come to this building to tell you, I don't care how far down you are. I don't care how miserable you are. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what trouble you got. I don't know what problems you got in your home. But I'm telling you, my God is big enough to stoop so far down no matter where you're at. He can pick you up. Hey, listen. Nobody else can do that for you. Muhammad can't do it. Buddha can't do it. Krishna can't do it. Nobody else can do it. Muhammad can't do it. Only Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, can stoop down and pick you up. He found me. He found me in the judgment. He found me with rocks in their hands. I'm talking about you tonight. He found some of us in divorce courts. He found some of us in rehab centers. He found some of us about to commit suicide. But he stooped down. But he stooped down. And the Bible said, glory to God, that he took his finger and wrote in the sand. Brother David, what did he write? I have no idea. No clue. None. Zero. No thought coming. And you don't either. But to me, it ain't about what he wrote. It's about what he did. It ain't about what he articulated by letters into the sand. But all I know is what I got out of it is that pure, spotless lamb, that hand that's without sin, that hand that never picked up strong drink. Hallelujah! That clean hand went down into the dirt. Are you with me, somebody? I said it went down and touched the dirt. Hallelujah! He went so far down, he touched the dirt. That's where she was at. She was so low that Jesus had to touch the dirt. You know the difference between me and everybody else in this world? Jesus touched me. I was going to give in, but he touched me. I was going to quit, but he touched me. I was going to give up, but he touched me. I was give plumb out, but he touched me. And I'll just tell you, you wouldn't be in this building serving God in your right mind had the grace of God not stooped down to where you was at and touch you. I feel like going old school. And all the joy that floods my soul, he touched me. He stooped down with his finger rolling the ground as though he heard them not. They're accusing her, but as though as he never heard it. They wasn't lying on her. She was guilty, but it's as though he never heard it. They're presenting accusation after accusation. They're charging her after charges after charges. We found her. We saw this. This happened and this happened and this happened. But it's as though he never heard it. Brother David, are you telling us that Jesus has selective hearing? It's as though he never heard it. Hallelujah! It's as though she never did it. I said it's though she never did it in the first place. He never heard it. Glory to God. She's dirty. She's guilty. But he didn't hear it. She's waiting. She's waiting. At any moment. At any moment. Any second, it's going to happen. It's coming. Prepare yourself. Any minute, oh God. Any minute. Any minute. I'm going to be killed. And Jesus says, he that's without sin, that's among you standing here with rocks in your hands. He that without sin that has judgment in their hands. If you don't have it, go ahead and throw the first stone at her. You know what happened? Law met grace. Tradition ran into love. Not just any love. Love that stooped so far down, it got where she was at. The present tense revelation of the hour. Turn the judgments away. Glory! The revelation of the message of the hour. Turn the judgment away from her. Any minute. Any minute. Any minute. About that time she hears thump, 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 thump. Thump, 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 thump. Thump, 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 thump. When the devil tells you you can't make it, thump, 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 thump. When he tells you you're not a child of God, thump, 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 thump. What do you mean ever going to the rapture? Thump, 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 thump. Hallelujah. Brother David, what's that noise? It's the dropping of the rocks. Hallelujah! It's the dropping of the judgment rocks! Now watch. The accusers were speaking to the word, and he never heard them. But when the word spoke back to the accusers, brother, that's rich whether you want to say amen or not. Come right out of the bakery out there. They which heard, being convicted by their own conscience. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. Look at the picture. Now it's just her and him. Oh, I got to say it better than that. I said after the judgment passed, it was just her and him. And when Jesus had lifted himself up, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman. He didn't say, who are your accusers? Because they know that. But where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? None, my Lord. None. Not even one. Not one devil, not one imp, not one liar, not one accuser. None, my Lord! The only one that could have condemned her was the one that was speaking to her. The only one that had a right to stand there with a stone in his hand and to kill her said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The safest place for somebody that's guilty is in the presence of Jesus. There ain't no church safe. Come on, somebody. There ain't no synagogue safe. There ain't no denomination. There ain't no creed. If you want to make sure you're free from judgment, you better get under that blood. Oh, Brother David, not me. I come out of my mama's womb swinging the Bible. You need that blood just like I do. When love stooped down. When love stooped down. Let's bow our hearts and eyes. Our musicians come. When love stooped down. I was sitting in the back room thinking, what would you do? What would you think after you heard all of these rocks falling? And Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. What do you do? What do I do next? When you look around and there's not one person accusing you. You should have died. You should have been judged. You should have been killed because you was guilty of it. But Jesus interceded on your behalf. Can you imagine what it must have felt like when she raised up and looked around and she saw no accuser? Nobody standing there with a stone in their hand. Nobody around. What must it have felt like when she, being so humiliated and shamed, broken? What caused this woman to be this way? What had happened in her life? What mistake did she make that led her to tempt the law? Why was she doing it? Why would she take the chance if she knew this was what the penalty was? She raises up and looks around. Nobody's there. No doubt she covers herself up being ashamed. She begins to walk that road that she had just been drugged down. Now she's walking back. Glory to God. I said the road of life that you got drugged down with all kinds of problems and besetting sins and troubles in your life. The road you got drugged down Now you find yourself walking back down that road. But you're not walking with accusers around you. Matter of fact, you've already been judged. Glory. You got judged in the presence of the great judge. And he's already told you, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. The Bible doesn't record that she ever was caught again. What did she do from this day forward? I promise you, she was never the same after this day. But David, how do you know? Because Brother Ram said no sinner can come into the presence of Jesus and leave the same way they came. Brother, sister, if you ever really get in His presence, if you ever really get into the presence of the King, you'll never leave the same way you come. It's impossible. If you really ever get in His presence, I may not know you, know what need you got or what trouble you got, but let me tell you about my King tonight. Love can stoop down to where you're at and pick you up. But David, you don't know what my problem is. I don't care what your problem is. No, Brother David, I don't care how bad it is. But David, it's great big. You don't know how big my God is tonight. He's a great big God. Hallelujah. Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden. Where's you at? Oh, underneath the load of guilt and so much shame. Oh, but then the hand of Jesus. Oh, glory. Yes, He touched me. Let me tell you about my story. Oh, and now. Would you just stand and lift your hands with me? Oh, sing it if you would. Hallelujah. Oh, I said He touched me. Have you been touched? Have you really had that moment where you realize you stood in the presence of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords? And He took your book that you was guilty of. Oh, let me tell you, if you've never been that way, I know that something, oh yes, it happened. Oh, and now, oh yes, I know He touched me. Oh, I just wish somebody to help me worship Him for a minute tonight.
Oh, since I met this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me happen. me and make me whole. Jesus, touch me. Yes, He touched me.
There's no sense of suffering. There's no sense of leaving here with it.
He's come to take you. He's come to let you know you can be free.
I said that surely the presence of the Lord, it is in this place. I can feel His awesome power. I need His grace. I see glory on each face, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Don't you just love Him tonight? Now let's just thank Him for what He did. Hey, listen, one person's worth my time. I believe God went down there and got that one woman that day. He'll come to this building tonight to get one young person, one sister, one son of God. Listen, friends, God don't need multitudes. He'll do it for one person tonight.
What a mighty God.
Oh, yes, He is.
Jesus is.
When I was condemned, when I was guilty.
Oh, oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is.
Oh, help Him now.
Heaven and earth adore Him.
Just surrender yourself.
His people.
Ask His presence to come by.
Before
move on your heart
Him.
Tonight. You'll find this out.
What a mighty,
what a mighty God.
Jesus is.
Oh, let the redeemed sing it out with all your hearts. Glory to God.
Oh, what a mighty God.
is holy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence tonight.
Holy.
Thank you for coming by this building. Thank you for moving your hearts of your children. Oh, lift your hands and tell Him now.
For He is whole.
Let the devil know now.
Jesus,
my God,
is
He is whole. Holy.
Holy. Holy is
our
Lord.
Jesus is whole. He's a holy
Jesus
God.
Is holy.
He has a holy people.
Jesus,
He's taking us to the Holy Land. Cross.
I love you.
I love you, Lord.
Love you.
The love that can stoop down.
I love you. Written in red.
Could we sing it again?
I love.
Now mean it with all your heart.
What Calvary
I love you this much.
Said,
I would stretch my arms out and die for you.
I love you,
little bride.
I love you.
Oh, hallelujah.
I love you.
How many can just say you love Him with all of your heart? If you don't leave this service loving Him more than you come in, there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
Jesus stooped down to where you was at. Well, brother, what about the reproach? He was willing to take it. What about the humiliation? He was willing to take it. You mean for me? I'm talking about you personally. Not just somebody around you. You got to believe it for yourself.
Thank you.
Oh, my. Certainly appreciate the grace of God. Brother Harry, let's sing just before we go. Service in the morning. I'm going to be ready. I want to be ready. God bless you.
Oh, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to go. Wanna be ready. Oh, I wanna be ready to go. I don't know how long I'll be here. Jesus said that he'd come again. And when he comes, I will go with him. When I hear him call my name, oh, not matter if I'm a wall.